Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest today is my friend and colleague Dan Armstrong. Thought I'd bring Dan back on to talk about a number of issues, tie a bunch of threads together, and come up with what we see as a sit rep and going forward, projections, short, intermediate, long term, that may be coming down the pike. So, without any further ado, Dan, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. Always a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
Of pleasure and honor is all ours. Well, buddy, tell me, tell me what's been going on over here. We've had, by our standards, something of a mini heat wave. We've got the fan going on in the background. I know that maybe in the CONUS, continental U.S., it's getting hammered by cyclonic bombs, atmospheric rivers. The terms they come up with that explain all this weather weaponry. What's it like in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, last week we had our bomb cyclone that knocked out power, and it wasn't too bad where I'm living, but in some places, I mean, they didn't get it going up for 48, 72 hours. If you're out living out in the sticks, it just seems to be like there's this general rule of thumb now. If you live out in the country, you're on your own.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost their way of just weeding out, culling those that are of a independent, standalone kind of mentality, right?
Completely. Oh, for sure. And I've seen in even the past few years since coming back here and living in different parts of the province, there's an attack on the rural communities. They are trying to shut them down. They are trying to get everyone to move into the cities. They're making the logistics difficult. The weather weaponry is targeting them during their tourist seasons. So that nobody comes, they're, whether it's wildfires or somehow they're just doing road repairs along that one highway that takes people into town and tells people to not come out. The small towns, they're really squeezing them hard at this point, I thought.
Well, there's still people suffering desperately in the hills of North Carolina, eastern Tennessee, places like that. They still have had no relief whatsoever. When the Amish did come by and built small dwellings for the survivors, the feds came along and say, "Oh, these buildings are not in code. You got to get out. No, they're not safe for you," right? Because they care so much about us. This is really a dystopian system. And before we started, I mentioned that although I try not to watch mainstream news, if I come across it, I just turn everything on its head to see what they're really trying to dissuade us from believing or knowing about. But it's gotten to the point now where I'm having a they live moment almost every time I come across these lamestream presenters, influencers of one sort or another. It's remarkable to see play out in front of you, Dan.
And I find even when you're out in public, it's before we needed when there was all the masks going on, you sort of saw like the compliant versus maybe the less compliant, and you could sort of have that measure, like see that difference in the people. But now I find when you just hear people talking, you can tell who's watching mainstream television versus who isn't, and who's probably getting their alternative media as their main news source. And it's amazing how contrasted they are from each other. Because I'll just see somebody here in Canada just going into a fit about Trump or something like that. Right? Like they get all worked up, they get in into a state. And I'm always very surprised by that.
Yeah, I think it's
Not because
indicative.
I'm like all 100% in his camp or something, but just that they would invest so much of their energy into that and know so little about our own local issues and our
Yes.
own, that this is what bothers me the most. We have a real estate housing bubble here that is just crushing the population, crushing them. And and it's not being discussed. They're trying to say, oh, it's some immigrants and this and that. It's really about money laundering. It's a huge money laundering operation, the fentanyl money. Canada's a recent the Canadian bank operating the state's TD recently got fined $3 billion for money laundering operations. $3 billion. And they know it's coming directly from Chinese PRC narcs, fentanyl washing, international students, housing bubble. It's all related. And that's, of course, the elephant in the room nobody discusses, because they talk to the population like they're a bunch of 5-year-olds talking to Santa Claus or something when they deal with these politicians.
Well, you mentioned a few things there. I mean, there's a lot there to unpack. That just what you mentioned, the Chinese PRC infiltration into virtually all segments of society through their trading organizations, through their friendship committees with the West. They've installed so many people that are friendly to them, or they have either paid off, compromised in some way. So many MPs in the Western world, members of parliament, so many politicians at a local level, to the point where Gavin Newsom, Lizard Boy himself in California, he's got a hoard of weapons and arsenals set aside for some unspecified purpose. Maybe they'll be headed over to the cartels. Maybe they'll be headed over to the Chinese. The situation is ripe for like a takeover inside and out. And even the way that the social media influencing works, companies like TikTok, which are Chinese owned, the ability that they have to influence individual and mob group behavior, thereby further destabilizing American society, American cohesiveness, in our society.
Absolutely. I have a friend from China. He laughed years ago when it came to TikTok. He says, "You guys are so naive. They're using TikTok to analyze all your behavior. It's all being fed into their AI. They can, I mean, you thought Cambridge Analytica was a nightmare. Wait until you see what happens when the PRC has, really bio. We're talking about a level of hacking of the very human condition itself, right? Because we're going down to the physiology, people's mannerisms, how they speak, the topics they speak about. All of this is just being sucked into these data centers, because obviously it's about full spectrum dominance, to put it in
Yes.
military terms, right? Full spectrum dominance. And so we have all these devices measuring everything on us, from our heart rate to our brain waves and everything we do, and the geo tracking that goes on. People are very naive about that. And I mean, even here on the local level, I mean, a lot of our local businesses have all been bought up by overseas Chinese. So now our local shopping malls, a lot of our small businesses, people look at it, it's their big payday. They ran a small business for 30, 40 years. They come along, somebody wants to, I'm not saying everybody doing so is criminal, but I think when you are putting a very hefty sum into a business that's clearly not going to make you this money as a return, you are, laundering it in one way or another. We've had things too. I mean, just to not to just say this is random conjecture. I mean, even if you look at the, be careful, it's the first segment, but in Winnipeg, we had BioLevel 4 lab as well. And lo and behold, this is a big controversy that's hidden, even in the Truther community. Guess who they had working in the bio lab? Oh, that's right. They had PRC lady. You know what they found? And this is, and they've done the investigations. They were shipping, they were mailing these viral samples straight to China without filling the necessary control documentation. Okay. So the level of sophistication of the narratives, the counter narratives, there's so many levels of deception with all of this. But it really comes back down to really looking at it as a coordinated system.
Yes.
This takes a lot of cooperation from the US authorities, from the Canadian authorities, all the levels of government, the banking sector, etc. This is not something you can pull off if anybody was actually looking out for their national interests.
Now, this is true. And there's this notion amongst the truther community, so-called, that this close collaboration with China really only started with the Clinton Obama administrations, but the fact that the Chinese PRC has had their hip pockets in what we would now call rhinos, but in a lot of mainstream in the old days, Republicans preceding Iran-Contra and even preceding the looting of all the savings and loans, all the thrifts, all the credit unions, that was all intelligence related. The Bushes and their entire family of Bush brothers and sons were deeply involved in that. And the interaction with the Chinese, the PRC, was so deeply ingrained in the Republican Party that when you zoom out and you look at it now, well, they've got the Republicans in their pocket, they got the certainly the Democrats in their pocket. There is no difference anymore, and it may be a difference degree, not in kind, and it remains to be seen what the policy is going forward with China, because China has to be regarded as a major player. Their advances in rocketry and everything, and there's an irony to that.
Thanks in part to America, right?
Yes.
This is all reverse engineered tech. I mean, I
Well,
don't know if you followed it like that professor from the University of Michigan that was working in the aeronautics engineering department and that. He got fired over protesting, saying, "Why are we sending this kind of classified controlled information? And I'm being forced to send it to the PRC." Like,
yes.
there's forced technology transfer.
Yes.
It's very important to understand too. This isn't indigenous to China developed stuff necessarily. Even your trade agreements to be able to have your company work within China requires concessions of this type, right? And they say, well, you don't want to come agree to our principles, then you don't have to have access to our markets, which these companies can't afford anymore. But there's clearly this thing of they force technology transfer. And this is they've literally built China up. I don't know
Yes.
if you see, like, and not to say that it's just recent, like you said, but even if you look back to the great scandal in 2013, where they basically said the Chinese have basically copied the entire US defense hardware system, the entire thing. I mean, and it was in the news for about a week. It went from, everything from THAAD and the missile, various forms of missile defense, everything, the F-35, well, they can keep that,
I can keep
but
that.
give them more F-35 plans. But it was in the news for a week, and they basically said, well, you know what? Well, maybe we just have to rebuild the whole US infrastructure, like military infrastructure from scratch now that they have it. So this is one of the ways that they've leapfrogged ahead in their development, is what I like to emphasize to people to understand there's been this massive cooperation,
This massive
because
cooperation, yeah.
either the Department of Defense was and the NSA were really behind the ball and letting these hackers get this information, which is of course state-sponsored, intelligence units, or they to a certain degree let it happen because they needed a threatening enough adversary. And a China with 1960s level technology as a military could never catch up to the US. So
Yeah.
they allowed it. The same thing as, what's his name? Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler and Anthony
Yeah,
Sutton.
Anthony Sutton, yes.
When he describes like the forced technology transfer to the Soviet Union for the key machine parts that
Yeah.
couldn't possibly be made there, right?
National Suicide was a great book he wrote. The arming of the Soviet Union. They literally gave them the patents and the blueprints and even the hardware to develop a lot of this technology. That was running in parallel to like a large scale Soviet industrial espionage operation going back to the 1920s at least. And then you look at the sorry, sad case of a Professor Hsien-Hugh Shen, who was a colleague of a protege of Dr. Theodore von Karman. I've talked about Dr. Theodore von Karman in the past as the head of the Scientific Advisory Board for the Air Force, deeply involved in majestic level analysis and back engineering of alien technology. I don't know if Professor Hsien-Hugh Shen was privy to that information. He did take part. He was in Jet Propulsion Lab. He was a close colleague of von Karman's. He was worked in Caltech, worked at MIT at the highest levels. He wrote papers dealing with aerodynamics, compression, airflows, compression of fluids, et cetera, that were to this day still regarded as a premier in the field of rocketry, missile development, et cetera. So, in fact, he's written some of the papers. If you look up the Beyond the Horizons series of reports put out by the Air Force Scientific Advisory Board, Su Shen is one of the authors of a number of these very technical papers. So then he
Now,
comes under
is he
suspicion.
a Chinese American,
Well,
Taiwanese, mainland
he came
Chinese?
from mainland China in the 1930s, studied at MIT, then worked at Caltech. He got that Guggenheim Aeronautical Laboratory scholarship, and then he began working under Theodor von Karman. In fact, Xian did most of the mathematical computations for a lot of von Karman's work. And long story short, he comes here, or comes to America rather, and learns and advances the field of aeronautics and missile development. And then he comes under suspicion from the FBI, and then he's persecuted. They keep him kind of in cold storage for a number of years, not letting him leave the country. Get him so he was already an arrogant kind of guy to begin with, right? So for him to lose face at that level from a Chinese perspective,
Very.
regarded as a traitor by a company, by a country he was hoping to spend the rest of his life in, and to be a citizen, et cetera. No, after a cooling off period of a number of years, they sent him packing. If he was such a security threat, and I don't mean to sound callous or hardened about
No.
this, but they bumped off other people for far less, right?
Look at what they did to Assange.
Yes.
For what?
So eventually they let Shen go. Where else is he going to go? He goes back to mainland China and quickly becomes the father of modern Chinese rocketry and rocket and missile development. And all of the advancements today, the Chinese openly say, hypersonic missiles, we got that from Professor Xian. All these different advancements in missile development, long range missiles, et cetera, the whole series of DF missiles, the aircraft killer missile, the Guam-based killer missile, all that was based on the work of Xian. And so, to follow your point you made, the know-how and the technology doesn't grow on trees. It's got to be developed somewhere. And so, what have they done? They've sent this guy back to China. I'm not saying they should have bumped him off, right? But he goes back, and he predictably. He goes and starts the Chinese Communist missile development program, and here we are, hypersonic missiles impossible to stop by normal conventional technology. The notion of the sending the
Just
U.S.
from a
fleet out,
national security perspective, you
just
would never have released that. It's far
yes,
too significant, right?
it's far too significant, but they did, and now we have to deal with it now.
And I was listening to a video yesterday, actually, by some World Bank guy, and he was talking about going to China in the early 2000s, some World Bank director. And he was just talking about the level of espionage and everything. Like, and he was actually very, I'll be fair, very intelligent, understood some of the historical context of China, why the attitudes had changed, why there was this culture of immorality due to the Cultural Revolution, how Mao's Red Book got replaced with success. But he said, and it was really interesting. I love the comment section. Sometimes you learn more than the video, even from a comment section, because everybody brings in their personal stories. But it was very clear there's many people coming and saying, oh yeah, all of this tech transfer. They said, that all these Chinese academics and that were sent abroad. I mean, this was all weaponized. This isn't
Yes.
just friendly academic
A lot of them
exchanges.
worked in the national labs like Los Alamos and places. Iranian scientists had worked in the national labs in Los Alamos and Livermore and other places too.
And they talked about it, and they sort of say under their breath, yeah, we were there to steal the satellite technology. Like, they were sent out with specific missions when they went to these universities and that, right? And then, I mean, if you think that they're not hacking Western liberalism to their maximum advantage,
Yes.
You don't know much about Chinese or Asian
Yes.
people.
Yes.
They are extremely practical people. I'm not saying that, we can transpose Western values and say that's bad, but these are people who are meant for survival. And
Yes.
unfortunately, the Chinese people, instead of understanding their heritage as being Chinese, that one of the worst things that's ever happened is the PRC,
Yes.
and specifically the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, has melded its idea of saying we are China.
Yes.
If you're Chinese, you are CCP.
Yes.
And so the CCP has done this great way of sort of taking over the whole Chinese identity. So nowadays, Chinese people, well, they're very proud, of course, of their culture, which they should be, but it's all being directed through the funnel of the PRC's public relations and strategic system,
Yes.
right?
Yeah, it's communism with a Chinese face is how they call it. And
Yeah.
their notion that any Chinese anywhere, ethnic Chinese anywhere, it's called the diaspora, call it whatever one wants, they are all regarded as assets and working for the CCP. And they will even they'll do this for non-Chinese as well, but particularly for Chinese, they have a grading system essentially. Where, okay, one category he's with us, second category, sympathetic can be turned, three, hostile enemy, right? And they work accordingly. If there's a politician out there in the West somewhere who's talking badly about China, he's going to be, or she is going to be subject to a lot of abuse, harassment, trolling,
Absolutely.
in every the way they can mobilize people. Chinese to just suddenly pop up in front of an embassy or a consulate and protest, or the amount of abuse and vitriol they can heap onto someone on social media through their control of bots, through their control of trolls and activists. It's
Absolutely.
remarkable how they've managed to do it. And we're
And
going to go
now they've
eventually.
also probably one of their friendlies in terms of their rating system are all these university students coming out of the college campuses
Yes.
because they seem to be defenders. They're like, oh, capitalism's so bad. Not saying there isn't, I don't even, it's not really even capitalism.
Yeah.
But then they turn and they say, well, those Chinese aren't so bad. And why are you so close-minded? Maybe they're doing something right. So we have this ideological subversion that's happened at the same time. I found it's really interesting, even in the world of, say, I know it's sort of getting away from some of that politics, but it's about a culture war is what I'm wanting to highlight. That, I love a lot of architecture forums on Facebook, and that I follow these things. And you see all these, it's really interesting. In the old days, the way communist regimes would love to celebrate that they are modernizing is by, on the back of their money, print, some, big factory on the back or
Yeah.
something, or some
Or a
hydro dam,
tractor,
or
like a big tractor in
right.
the back, yeah.
And now it's interesting. I noticed that all of these architectural showpieces they have, suddenly the Chinese are supposedly loving opera houses and theaters and libraries. But they're really just, they're not actually meant for the people to enjoy. They're just showpieces to say, look, we're sophisticated. Look, we're modern.
Cultured,
Look,
yes.
take us seriously, right?
Yeah,
And
and what I wonder about is the final stage from the Mao's perspective was the combat phase, right? So are we going to get there eventually? Because the US military dangling on, the puppet strings as it is a paper tiger. The notion that it could, even if China wanted to have a land invasion, amphibious invasion, probably maybe combined with a big airborne attack against Taiwan, rather than take it over by subterfuge or some way, which I'm sure they're working on that plan as well. Point being is that the notion of the U.S. fleet sallying out and, going into the Straits of Taiwan and stopping, and that's a non-starter,
oh, yeah.
because there's rings of defenses, chains of islands, they don't have enough forward deployed troops. The American military doesn't. So what troops they have for deployed in bases are just going to come under a hailstorm of missile attacks and drone attacks. And if they try to deploy in, from CONUS to WESPAC, Western Pacific, that's a long way.
It's half a planet
It's
away,
half a
you
planet
know.
away. So to deploy from the CONUS, large bodies of troops and troop transports on ships, that's also a non-starter, because the
It's, but
ability they
people's heads
have.
are still back in the Second World War, thinking we still have a theater that looks like this. And this is I guess this is the good point. With all of your expertise, you appreciate these innovations, and especially in the concepts of warfare. And so we're already started this hybrid war anyway, when we're talking about the infiltration into the governments, the trade relationships, like here in Canada, for example. I mean, they've just completely sold entire oil fields to them, right? And then what they're doing is now they're building the pipeline to send it to the Pacific. Well, why are they paying $40 billion for this pipeline that was supposed to be 12? Why did the federal government come in and do this? Well, because they need to send it to the Chinese. And they don't even use Canadian workers for these places. They will set up the whole base, the whole camp. They will just import the Chinese people.
They get a mass
They
visa. They get a
somehow,
mass
it's like
visa.
this ex yeah. It's like this extraterritorial jurisdiction within our own country to just literally take the resources out of it now and ship it back to China. It's insane. But it's not discussed, right? Because the former Canadian prime minister is too busy working for a big Chinese American law firm, using his contacts to help milk and game our system to help them take over our country, right?
And the marrying up of the Chinese communist expansionist mentality, the ideological war, combined with high tech, their ability to shut down now, and they've gamed it out. A lot of Western war colleges have said there's going to be a massive, cyber attack. You're going to see communication satellites, navigation satellites falling out of the sky like dead fireflies, right? And if you go back to 1970s think tank papers, they were talking about, oh, well, one kind of possible anti-satellite killer send up a missile, then it explodes and showers the a satellite with a hordes of BBs and renders the solar panels ineffective, the battery runs down. Well, now the Chinese are moving their outdated, soon to expire satellites into the path of American British NSA satellites, bumping them off course, right? That's been happening already. There was some kind of a satellite meltdown, if you remember, several weeks back. Oh, by the way, apparently, to these Chinese boats, and they have this whole fleet, not only PLA Navy, but this maritime militia of theirs that are going around causing problems for the Philippines. In other places, ramming Philippine Coast Guard boats.
Well, did you see this thing this week about
The
cutting
cable
the
cuttings.
Baltic
Yeah,
cable
cutting the
from
Baltic
Finland?
cable. Cutting the
Now
Baltic
they're
cable.
doing a thing where they're surrounding the ship, though. It's really interesting. Like, we're really looking at, I don't think people realize we
No, they
are
don't.
really at
It,
11:59 on the clock here.
because their attention is focused, rightly so, on Ukraine, the supposedly a peace process in the works with Israel and Hezbollah. We'll see how long that lasts, right? So their attention is focused on there. But if you look at the way that CCP has spread out and entrenched its tendrils throughout the
Throughout.
West, it's that to me. And the fact that so many military-aged Chinese males, in particular, but also women, who are loyal to the CCP and have that whole ideology. They're just all throughout society, but they've been coming up through the Mexican border for a long time. And now, increasingly, as you pointed out, they're there. They've basically taken over Canada. And when you mention extraterritoriality, it's interesting how the tables turn because, as you know, and for the benefit of the listeners and viewers who may not be familiar with this, what the, as you know, the Western colonizers, Germany and America and Britain and other countries did was they had these extraterritorial enclaves, spheres of influence in mainland China, where it was their maritime admiralty law. They can arrest and punish Chinese citizens. They forced, trade wars and opium wars on the Chinese, right? So now the tables have turned. This extraterritoriality system has been re-imported back to the West. And yeah, and like I said, if we go into the combat phase, this paper tiger, because from an ideal perspective, right? And this almost harkens back, has echoes of the Terminator Matrix stories, which was stolen by that poor lady who, yeah, paralegal in LA somewhere. She made the mistake of sending her scripts and her stories to Hollywood, and she never saw it again. But anyway, how the Skynet system, in order to take down the whole planet, it initiates this nuclear war between America and Russia. And I can't help but think about that, because what we're seeing is the powers that be, they want their cake and they want to eat it too. America and Russia, whatever anyone has to say, negative or otherwise, about Christianity, America and Russia are the two biggest Christian countries on the planet. So this notion, I don't think, and I don't know what your thoughts on this is. My feeling is, when people say, "Oh, well, Putin, they're all just part of it. It's all just a big act," I'm not so sure about that. Putin knows he's dealing with a bunch of irrational, illogical, even if he, for sake of argument, was part of some kind of agenda. He must know by now, at least, that these people that are pulling the strings, the Zionists pulling the strings in the West, are complete psychopathic whack jobs that might want to see it all go to hell in their lifetime, right? And
And
they're just, yeah, and it's a quick point. The dispensational apocalyptic mentality is, not only do they want to destroy Russia for all the perceived wrongs and what are the things they may have done in the past, right? Because this goes back to Ukraine being Khazaria, Khazar. It's a long-standing feud that a lot of these surface-level truthers aren't aware of, the enmity that these modern-day Bolsheviks have towards Russia, and how much they want to destroy it, on the one hand, and they want to take down a long-standing goals, take down the New Atlantis. What better way than to, keep poking Putin and the Russian bear in the eye until finally he says, "Okay, enough is enough." With their precision, they don't even need to use nuclear ordnance. They just proved this with the launch of the Arashnik missile. Right, and everything just plays into the U.S. pulls out of the intermediate nuclear forces missile treaty 2019. Russians are probably already working with an intermediate range Arashnik anyway, right? But then once that happened, okay, balls in a wall.
Well,
We're
I
gonna
mean,
just we're gonna go into
I
serial
think
production
Russia
now.
looks at it simply as this. Russia has said, well, if we're the only ones that are going to do this, we'll appoint ourselves the hegemon to save civilization itself, because we
Yeah.
see that your Western infection, this Anglo, whatever it is, this
Decadent,
NATO,
beyond Roman
you know what I
decadence.
mean? We know all of that. And they know what it is because they're not stupid. I'm sure that Russia understands exactly what NATO is. If you understand, NATO is related exactly to the Swiss. It's related to the people the Swiss financed in the Second World War. We know who we're talking about.
Yeah. The Bank of International Settlements, yeah.
And we can see exactly who's fighting it. And I don't blame them. They're trying to save the very cultural fabric and their civilization from, becoming just this American corporate culture wasteland. And they're like, no, this is far too important. So whatever the motives are, I think they actually have a notion of nationality,
Yes,
right? Because
they're
this is
proud
all
of it, and
about
they should be.
erasing nationality. If we look at it, and you know this, James, because you study war. I mean, you look at World War I, it was to break up the great empires, right? Your Austro-Hungarian, Ottoman, etc., right?
Tsar, the
Russian
Tsarist Russia.
Empire, right? So that's the purpose of World War I. It's not about Archduke Ferdinand nonsense or whatever. And then you see, so each of these wars has a focus and a move towards global centralization has always been the goal. It's just these incremental steps of moving us one step closer. And ironically, they couldn't do it when you had these powerful empires. right? They need to break it down into nation states, and then we'll control the nation states through our intermediary. You know, like the whole European Union project was initiated by the Bank of International
Yes.
Settlements. So when you're not upset, when you don't like the EU, what you don't like is the secret cabal of bankers that
Yes.
designed the EU. So, you know, I see this when we're looking at for the things for what would be the next major international conflict. Yeah, I can see it. It's taking out the vestiges of the nation state. And we'll
Yes.
move into what Justin Trudeau wants to boast to make Canada the first post-national state. So we'll just erase all concepts of culture and identity from the state. And the state will just be this thing in the big pyramid
Yeah, so we're already
for
seeing that. There's
control.
been major inroads into eradicating the history of the white European heritage history, right? Wholesale elimination of actual history and replaced by this weird woke. Just like that, when you watch these Hunger Games movies, all these weird freak show types that are in positions of authority and power, all these irrational people they keep putting in front of us and make it seem all trendy and cool and something to be emulated, right? When really it
Oh,
just
I know.
brings out all the monsters
I had
within
to
of these
argue
people.
about somebody talking of, you know, celebrating taking down statues the other day. You know, younger person, left leaning. That's cool. I mean, no issues with that, but they really don't understand the issues. They don't, if they understood what the Cultural Revolution was and the ramifications of that, like even when we talk about China today, people don't realize go to China. Well, maybe now because the CCP is like trying to do this revival of like they're the protectors of Chinese culture about
Exactly.
face, but none of that's originals. All very little of it are original buildings and that. Like they destroyed everything. And that's why they don't have the moral system that Chinese culture once had,
Yes.
right? They eliminated all of that. And so when we see the level of devastation, that is the plan with the woke liberal agenda, right? Like it doesn't stop at taking down statues. It goes into it's destroyed the fine art world. It's destroyed now our history. Now they're trying to inject and say things that aren't, they started with Netflix and these things, but putting in false characters. You know, I'm watching a show about, you know, Catherine the Great, but somehow there's courtiers that are of African descent.
Yeah, that's very common now. That's very common.
And so what it's about, and it's not about, oh, we're trying to be fair or open-minded. What it's about is trying to destroy the history. Most cultures would never tolerate this type of
Yes.
infiltration.
Yes.
And so this is what really worries me is they're really winning the ideological war.
Yes.
And we could have, now I'm not saying everything about Western history was great. There's a lot of stains on people's hands, but I think that's exactly why we keep it the way it is. We
Yes.
need to learn from our mistakes. I say keep the statues so you can explain to your children, you know, that Christopher Columbus guy, do you know he used to do this and that and base it off of some fact or maybe some, you know, put a bit of information behind it. But when we take away our buildings, when we take away our art, and all these things, we're taking away our memory. It's a memory reset.
Yes, it is. It is. It's not
That
just that their open disdain for whites and European heritage. It's like you pointed out, they're eradicating history and exactly like they did in the Cultural Revolution in China,
That's right.
right? Just eradicate the past before they had in the old days a competitive scholastic exam series where, you know, these budding hopeful, you know, one day civil servants, they had to take a series of exams in
Oh,
China.
yes. Yeah, the imperial exam system. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, they had to prove their worth. It was a meritocracy. But now that's all been changed. It's all based on ideological commitment nowadays. And to complete the point about Terminator, you know, the Russians and Americans, the way the Terminator system did it was it caused America and Russia to nuke each other. Well, they want their cake to and eat it too. They want to destroy Russia, but before they want to destroy, assimilate, break up into its constituent parts, ethnic divisions, etc. Before they do that, they want Russia to launch and destroy America and whatever is left, right? is ripe for the plucking. And the way they're shutting down the food, the Department of Agriculture still shutting down farmers, still slaughtering mass amounts of livestock, of chicken, of poultry, et cetera, things are being set up for mass famine on top of everything else. And a quick point, I'd
Why
like your
else do you
thoughts.
think we were being trained to stand outside of grocery stores during the special
That's
period?
just like it was in the old Soviet Union, where people would wait for hours in lines, and they finally get to
You
the front
got to
and
train the people in that in advance. You can't just
exactly.
suddenly throw it on because you could have a chaotic element. So they've
Yes.
done I've noticed that now is there's a whole new culture. We really aren't out of the woods about the special operation there. And let's face it, it was a military
It
operation. It
was,
was nothing
absolutely
other than.
was, and nothing more. And again, there's that tie in with Wuhan, tie in with the Chinese, the University of North Carolina. And a quick point, in this first segment, I'd like your thoughts on it. And we got so much to get into in part two, but
I know.
now Elon Musk is being set up to be some kind of advisor to Trump's military, Pentagon, where he
Oh
apparently
no.
there's this program that's going to be called, I forget what it's called, the algorithm or something. I have to do more research into it. But basically, the ostensible purpose for this AI program that either Musk is going to come up with or has already come up with is to streamline, optimize, the military, the procurement system, the requirements, but then how is that going to affect war fighting? How is that going to affect the decision-making process? They already have AI powered computers, computer-powered snipers in the IDF. Oh, look, there's a target of opportunity there, blam, but there's no one pulling the trigger. Well, they still got those psychos, snipers, of course they do. But increasingly, they're moving towards an AI platform, computer
Absolutely.
command and control sniper system. Okay. So that's like bringing it way down to the specific. Now scale it up. What else is this AI program that Musk is working on that's supposed to help and streamline the hopelessly bloated, hopelessly messed up Pentagon? That I'd like to see.
Well, it's simple. The Musk's new plan is all contracts go straightly directly to him. He could funnel it out, right? As he lectures us on government efficiency, the person who received billions of dollars in grants for companies that would have never normally stood regular market conditions. The same person who wants your Neuralink and everything else. I agree. I think the it's a huge thing to get into, but I was looking at again the linguistics of it the other day. AI forms in what's known in linguistics as a diphthong. It's two vowels are put together, and it makes a new sound, usually of a long sound variety. So if you put AI together, you have I. So you see, we have the all-seeing eye, because the AI will have ubiquitous control over every single
Yes.
aspect in our digital infrastructure.
Yes.
This is what we are looking at, the great work that some people like to call it on the Luciferian side. The great work is coming about. And I
Yes.
think, and this is, and that's, this all goes back to, your ancient Egypt, Babylonia. It's the same system.
Yes, and
Now,
jump-started by alien technology, jump-started by there are Luciferian, I want to get into this in the second segment, Luciferian demiurgic forces at work. And I think that people shouldn't lose sight of
absolutely.
that the forces playing these hybridized minions here on the surface, these are non-human factors at work. And the sooner we
Absolutely.
can get to that level of understanding, the better. And quick point before we finish this first segment, Luis Elizondo, right? He's the new poster boy, flavor of the month for UFO disclosure. The kind of statements he's saying, oh, my labs is nonsense, underground bases are nonsense. What he doesn't know that the German V2 program in the Hertz Mountains, the Dora complex, was underground. He doesn't know that the British aircraft industry in World War II went underground because of the incessant German bombings, right? You
Everything
didn't.
the Chinese built was underground or in mountains.
Yes.
Mao was completely paranoid of a nuclear strike by Nixon. So
Yes.
they have massive tunnel
They have
networks under
massive
Chinese
tunnel
cities.
networks. And if he's supposed to be a big shot insider, he would know beneath the Pentagon. He had that Mickey Mouse Pentagon department, a budget of $22 million that would even pay for a tune-up for an F-22 or F-35, right? So he's
Right.
part of this Mickey Mouse department, and he claims to be some kind of expert, but he's not even aware that there's underground facilities in the Beltway. He's not in the Crystal City. The Crystal City is that there's a shopping mall underneath there. So he says, blanket statement, underground base is BS. Well, no, you're BS, Lewis. Okay. This is why people like me and people like you never took you seriously, because you're there, you're a shill, I hate the term
But you
controlled
know what's
opposition.
amazing about these people, though? They're great because it's all about eyeballs, the attention economy. And
Yes.
people will watch those UAP hearings. It's like they got them by the millions, just, oh, trying to analyze it word by word. Oh, what are they going to tell us? The secrets they're going to tell us on. And it's so absurd to me. And you're just completely wasting your time. You don't need validation from these
You don't.
people. You
No.
already know
Look,
what's going
I
on.
lived through the whitewashing of the Iran-Contra. You remember those
Of
endlessly
course.
boring hearings? They didn't talk about the massive fraud perpetrated in the insurance and banking industry. They didn't talk about the massive drug trafficking. It was just all a bunch of drivel and a bunch of nonsense, and all the players were protected, right? So
And look at where Ollie North is now. He's doing great.
he's doing great. He's doing great.
I can't believe when I see that he still exists and he's like being interviewed on CNN and things, and I'm like,
He's a
what?
conservative. A conservative believes in bringing hordes of cocaine and drugs and arms smuggling and, into America. Like, great job at national security there. So, this is where we're at now. I always knew that there were going to be a new military or ex-military priesthood that will like be the go-to guys for UFO disclosure, and we're seeing it now, right?
And trust me too, the PLA, the PRC, like at the, I'm sorry, the Communist Party, they don't mind at all. You see, I realized this living there years ago. If the entire commercial system collapses, it's actually, you know who wins? Well, they just turn around, people like, oh, well, that would be a nightmare for China. No, it wouldn't be. Now the PLA has moral capital to go in and run the whole society. They'll just turn in and they'll be like, you know what? We're going to get rid of that corrupt Politburo and that, and we'll step in. But they'll still be controlled by them behind the scenes, you know.
Yes.
But they'll be able to have a whole new level of authoritarianism, you know. And the military will probably do things. I mean, China's overbuilt housing by over 1.4 billion people,
You need to
right? So they can
transplant.
literally move all of India into China comfortably,
Yes.
and everyone would
Yes.
still be housed. So I
Yes.
see what they do is, you know. You get all these kids in the military. Maybe they're just playing a video game version on the other end. It's not even the regular AI or
Well, for some
combined
of them,
with
it was
it.
a seamless transition. There were one moment they're playing. Call of Duty. The next, they're in a shack in the Nevada desert conducting drone strikes on weddings in Pakistan, right?
Right.
Or somehow they're a Call of Duty nut, and somehow they pass selection and they're in special forces, right? So, and one last comment I want to make. In some of the podcasts that I watch or peruse, ex special forces types, they were going on and on about, oh, if Trump unleashes, Delta Force, otherwise known as Combat Applications Group, another euphemism they come up with, if they turn loose the tier one units against the cartels, the cartels have no idea what's going to hit them. It's game over. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean the cartels that are propped up by the CIA, Mossad, protected by the Drug Enforcement Agency, administration, those
Given
cartels,
weapons by
given
these
weapons?
very agencies.
Yes, that was what, Fast and Furious, all the exporting of all these guns, they wind up in the hands of the bloody cartels who are in cahoots with the Chinese. Okay.
Course. Well, and this
Absolutely.
is we saw even with the border crisis, don't want to open up a new threat here, but we were seeing that they were deliberately, they're flying people into Mexico City. The cartel was controlling it once you got into Mexico City, that they would ship you to the border, and they were doing this for people from China. And they were just, and the cartels are making bank off of the smuggling of people across the border. It was highly organized.
Yes, it
They're
was.
making hundreds of millions of dollars from this.
That reached into the highest levels of Homeland Security. And Homeland Security controls all these federal agencies, right? Delta Force has the symbiotic relationship with the FBI's HURT unit, Hostage Rescue Team. Elements of Delta Force were there when those women and children were burnt up in Waco. Don't think we forgot about that, okay? So, point being is that, and also this silly notion, oh, the bikers, the Hells Angels, they're going to fight against the Tren Araga. It's like some of these biker organizations get their drugs from the cartels, right? They have this is a symbiotic relationship. Oh, I can see how,
Completely.
just like in the bogus war on terror, I could see how these tier one operators go out. We're about this person, that. Well, we're fighting the cartels up. Why do you want us to kill this American guy? Let's see, he's a Christian conservative. Oh yeah, he works for the cartels. Oh, also he works for Hamas. Get rid of him. Okay, bang bang, dead. That's what they do all over the world. But what about this guy? He doesn't seem to be more than a goat herder. Oh no, he's a high value target. Take him out. Bang bang, he's dead. And there are Delta operators and others around the world saying, no, we went around killing all. Yeah, I'm sure they took out some really evil people, and I'm glad they did. But they never got to the root of the matter. They never did. Right? And so this notion that
Well, you would
Delta.
ruin the whole business model if you did
Exactly.
that.
Exactly.
There's too many people making bank. It's the same thing, like I said, about the money laundering. Everybody's making bank, so they turn a blind
Everybody's.
eye to this. They know
Everyone's
what's
making
going on.
money. I mean, the long established intelligence, criminal, underworld symbiosis, going back, clear back to the days of when Shang was a warlord in China. He was running his own trafficking operations where the
Of
feds,
course.
were turning a blind eye to back then, right? So, you fast forward, you look at Iran-Contra. All the drug trafficking, all the big players, intelligence-related guys, Santo Traficante, all those guys. And to
The
suddenly
French
think
Connection,
the
it's
French
and it's not
Connection,
just Americans. I mean, the
it's
people
not
don't
just
realize the
Americans.
French
Yeah.
Indochina War was about drugs,
It was about
and the
drugs
Vietnam War was
and
a
resources.
continuation of the French Indochina War,
Well, the
which is why it
CIA,
shouldn't be a surprise
it shouldn't be
about what it
surprised.
was.
CIA and military intelligence basically took over the French rackets, or at least co-opted some of it. Along with the criminal organizations and the Corsicans in Marseille, French intelligence, the CIA. That was so. This notion that Delta is going to take down these cartels—that's a non-starter. The notion that bikers who are reliant upon the drug trade are going to go out and take down Tren Aragua—it's like it's
The
just
drug trade, human trafficking, and everything else, they
everything
somehow
else.
have this morality that,
Yes, it's like.
because they do a toy drive now and then, that they're the good guys. It's great.
Well, we've reached the end of the first segment with old buddy Dan Armstrong. And Dan, if people want to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Sure. Well, I am on Facebook. I prefer, rather than the friend request, just a message on there to me. Also, my email is great. Mr. MR Daniel Armstrong 2 at gmail.com. I'm trying to get that website going up, but I just have a hard time with those templates. So reach out to me there. I'm always happy to meet new people.
And Dan is a brilliant guy, as you've seen. And to our dear listeners and viewers, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top set of the next segment.